Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's hour number four of the G-Bag Nation. Are you buying or selling this Cowboys headline? It's becoming obvious Dak Prescott is the best quarterback from his draft class. Hold that thought. Maybe text them in or tweet them in at 877-881-1053 or at G-Bag Nation. We're going to get into that topic and the other big ones of the day. Big game tonight on TV in the world of sports we want to make sure you know about because there's an amazing story. There's not just one amazing story at the AAC. There's two, and we got to talk about that. Lyle Collins, DNP again today with the knee back, the back knee. Amari full, Heath full, Tank full. Zach was still limited. And Donovan Wilson came down with an illness there, the rookie safety out of A&M, who's still looking for his opportunity to make an impact in the regular season after having three takeaways in four preseason games. He's looking for his shot.
Might should have tried it last week because Darian Thompson was not the answer. He was bad.
Okay, everybody good?
I thought he was good when he saw the guy run by him on the third and 14 and was like, I don't need to do anything here. It was Xavier Woods ran all the way across the field from the other safety position.
He tried his hardest.
That would have been a touchdown.
He tried his hardest.
The headline here comes from bloginttheboys.com. Dak Prescott is distancing himself from the competition. They write, this is RJ Ochoa over there, the Cowboys blogger. Is it a hot take for me to say, man, I don't know. He's clearly ahead, but it's not a no knockout punch has been thrown. We're about a third of the way through a 12-round prize fight. Dak has a one-round lead. He won rounds one, and he's winning round four profoundly. But it was Wentz in round two and Goff in round three.
Okay,
that's kind of the way that I'm looking at it.
I agree with you. It's tough in year four for guys that have been successful. All three, to your point, have had major success at some point in their career. To now say it's for sure going to be Dak the next 8 to 10 years of most likely their careers until they come to an end that it's going to be Dak. But right now I would say, yes, as much as I've changed, you don't have to keep this the same every week, every year. Things can change. I would now take Dak number one overall in the 2016 draft.
That's a really good way to put it.
If eyes can change and yous can change, we alls can change.
Today is the, I asked Alexa, I said, Alexa, good morning. And she told me that this is 1976. This was the time the Rocky movie came out.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, what a special
not
day.
Rocky IV. You're referencing Rocky IV, but Rocky, the first ever movie in 1976. This was the debut.
Alexa really knows you well.
Yeah. 43 years later, he's still playing Rambo. How stupid is that?
And now, Balboa.
Now, are you guys ready to write off Paxton Lynch and Christian Hackenberg in this race?
Yeah.
You guys
yeah.
are prepared to write them off?
Yeah, I think I'm safe I'll to say, say on that. But I am
Connor
not
Cook.
I'm not willing to write off totally the idea that maybe we could explore this. I mean, we don't have much postseason success. Goff's taken a team to the Super Bowl. Dak has at least matched Wentz's best run, though, as far as playing like an MVP for 10 games.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
you've at least equaled that. Blogging the Boys points out Dak's going to do it this year with a number one receiver who can't stay healthy. A coach most people would say isn't a plus, and a running situation that is often stalled. That's amongst their points here that I'm paraphrasing for you.
I won't accept the Cooper one. Like, you can talk about how he's dinged up, but look at his production. Like, to pretend that you've been hampered, like, oh, he doesn't have his best receiver. No, he's got Amari Cooper who's going to be a Pro Bowler and maybe an All-Pro.
Well, he could be even better. I think we could say that.
I guess, I'm just looking at the draft class and seeing. I forgot Cody Kessler and Cardale Jones went right after Dak. Could have had him if you wanted.
Okay, they also write, how about this idea? Yards per pass attempt dominance is a defining characteristic of winning teams. The 47 quarterback seasons with over 8.5 yards per attempt. Okay, Dak's doing something that only 46 other quarterbacks have ever done. And in the other ones since the merger, they've combined for a 444 and 166 and 3 record. a 727 win percentage that for Prescott and the Cowboys would translate to 11.6 expected wins, not their current pace of 9.6.
In other words, this is the stuff that makes Mike and a lot of Cowboy fans angry. Your quarterback is doing historic things that lead to 12 win seasons.
Should.
And we're hoping that the Cowboys get to 10.
Yeah. This is for Jerry Jones, who wants to keep Jason Garrett the rest of his life. This has to really hurt that Dak has improved to one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, that you have a combination of wide receivers that are considered top five in the NFL, I think, today. Your offensive line is good enough. It might not be the best in the NFL. You've invested a lot. It's still good. It's just not great. And you're sitting there at 6-4 with all that. It's, to me, it has to be the coach at this point. It has to be the coach that you're like this.
Absolutely. You know, what else could it possibly be? It's not a coincidence this team during the Garrett tenure has been so disappointing and predictable, and they do point to the coaches a little bit, and they get after it in a play-calling way. On first half, first downs this season, when the score is less of a factor in play-calling, the Cowboys have dropped back on just 69 out of 158 snaps. That's 43% passing on first down. The NFL average is now over 50% at 51.1. So Dallas has been less aggressive passing on more neutral downs, despite Prescott being on pace for one of the most prolific passing seasons in NFL history. Whatever you think going into a season, if at some point your guy becomes so good at passing, you have to shift away from running quickly. As good as Zeke might be, there's no way he's going to be as good as one of the most proficient and efficient passing seasons in the history of the NFL. It's just that, you know, the running game is a nice change of pace play. But, you know, you have to make educated decisions about how much you're going to implement it based on how good it is and how good your quarterback is. And I don't know how many yards per carry Zeke would have to run for to get to the point where you're like, wow, you know, maybe that is a better option than Dak passing it.
Probably
at a historic
six
level.
6.5, 7.
I think somewhere around there.
Something like, because if your average is like 8 yards per attempt, there's still zeros in there. There's still incompletion. There's still sacks. So if you can get 5 or 6 yards of carry and you want to hand it off, that's cool.
If Zeke could ever make somebody miss when it is blocked for a 10 to 12 yard gain and he has that one-on-one situation, then you could at least say, hey, you know what? Yeah. We're going to still hand it to him 22 times because you know what? There's a great chance that Zeke is going to break one for 40 to 70 yards for a touchdown, that there's a home run in there. If we give it to him 22 times a game, there's going to be a home run in there. It's rare that there's not a home run. There's never a home run.
No.
You're just hoping that he can run the ball 2 times for a first down and you don't have to run it 3 times for a first down.
That's exactly what it is right now. You take away that top-end playmaking from a running back bursting through and getting into the end zone from unexpected spots, and I think it loses tremendous value. Okay, speaking of running back, because I know a lot of people out there, maybe some of the techs already are saying, well, yeah, he's passing it so well because they're all committed to the run. Of Prescott's 376 dropbacks, he's faced 8 or more defenders in the box only 20 times, 5.3%. The league average is 5.7%. Prescott has slightly fewer dropbacks than average against the loaded boxes that theoretically are easier to throw against. So that is not holding water at all. The impact on Dak from the running game is non-existent.
As I told you people a while ago, stop trying to snatch away the quarterback's credit and give it to somebody else. This quarterback is doing this.
Okay, it is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. And speaking of young DFW superstars, Luka Doncic is a massive topic, and I think the thing that's most relevant moving forward, is this the new normal or is it a hot streak? You know, Rick Carlisle saying last night he's a great player on a great run. And I don't know if he meant to say it like that, but is this the best point of the season, or is he establishing a new James Harden or Russell Westbrook type of norm as far as consistent triple-doubles and scoring into the 30s?
I hope it's the new norm. I was wondering this. And this might wait till the playoffs. Teams might not do this till the playoffs. What if for Luka, because in the article it kind of talks, Luka likes controlling the offense at times and Rick has kind of let him do it, but he's a very predictable play caller in the article, that he goes to his two favorite plays and that's pretty much him saying, I can take this guy, I'm going to take him type of deal. What if the defense starts going, all right, let him take us all the time. We're going to put on a tough defender on him, and I know that he's going to win the battle a lot. And he might end up with 40 points, let's just say playoff time. But if he's never passing the ball and just trying to do it all on his own, and then later in the game, we run a double team at him, and the players are like, crap, he passed me the ball. I didn't think that there was passing happening in this game, because the defense was like, just stay with your guys and make Luka do it all on his own.
Yeah.
And so I'm just wondering, like, there's going to be adjustments from good teams and veteran players.
And that's why eventually they will need a secondary playmaker. You know, it's fun to imagine like the Allen Iverson system where the guy plays 45 minutes and you just have defenders and rebounders and 3-point shooters around him. But he's going to have to clear that hurdle. I would invite the double team, the trap, because at his height, very few defenders are going to be able to take that away.
When they double team him, it's the best thing that happens because he is unbelievable at passing out of it. I get sometimes they just have to because – the guys are like, I'm staying with them. And the guy's like, well, you really weren't supposed to. And so they double team and they try to double team him hard. But he takes his time and then finds the perfect pass for the perfect look.
Well, yeah, you know, I think what it comes down to for Luka and can he maintain this is, why wouldn't he? You know, and the only reason is his elevated field goal percentage right now. Is that going to come down to 45 or 46%, which seems to be like the modern mark for most players? Like the guys that absolutely get to the rim consistently and dunk, they can be somewhere close to 50, but guards around 40, and Luka's way higher than that right now. But you know, because Rick trusts him so much and because you don't have any other playmakers, you need him to pass the ball. You need him to rebound the ball for this team. You can't rebound without what he's doing for you. And you need him to set up others.
I do. I worry about his, I don't know, what does he play, about 35 a night, 35, 36 minutes a night?
A little less than that, but yeah.
It looks like he is sure asked to do a whole lot.
Yeah.
I worry about 82 games of that. That looks like a lot of work.
It is amazing how great of a rebounder he is. For a guy that can't really jump, I get it. He can dunk. I'm not – for an NBA player, he's not that good of a jumper, and especially at 6'7", 6'8", there's guys in there that are 6'10", battling for a rebound with him, and he's the one that always seems to come up with the rebound when he wants the rebound.
I think it's a strong base, it's good balance, but you know, incredible instincts, and he's stronger. Don't you think so? I think he's going to get a reputation for being a stronger player than maybe what he looks like because he's a little doughy. But the back, the core, you know, I think that stuff's all dialed in an elite level. JJ Barea was asked after the game, can he keep it up? He says he plays on the ground, he's super smart. He's shooting the ball well. He's finishing really well. I see him keeping it up. And he says it's not hard for him. He's not forcing crazy stuff. It's just coming. That's why I think he can keep this up, because he's making it look easy. The point about him playing on the ground is really interesting, because you don't get yourself into trouble. You don't get yourself into spots, but you also don't get hurt. You know, it's easier to stay healthy
rolling
if you're
an
not.
Ankles a little bit harder to do. And obviously Dirk rolled tons of ankles, but it's just that he gets to the basket and you think he's going to go all the way, and then he just bumps you a little bit, and then he's able to gather his body and balance and then just go up and shoot like a little 5-foot runner or whatever, or continue with like a slow layup.
Yeah.
And it confuses the defense because he has so many different gears. Yes, he's not super fast.
Yeah.
But he then shows fast, and then it gets the defense off balance. He's like, yep, thank you very much. You thought I was going to go fast. And then when you're like, I'm going to sit on you not going fast, he's smart enough to be like, all right, you think that I'm going to step back here? I'm just going to keep going. You're done.
Barea knows all about that game, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. So they're going to host the Cavs tomorrow, and then they'll visit the Rockets Sunday, which is a 2:30 game. Horrible timing. If I was Cubes, I'd send an email to the commissioner just saying, really?
What's wrong with a nice Sunday afternoon?
Well, because it's against the Cowboy game. You know why?
Whatever, you know.
Because tonight is Houston Texans. So in the city of Houston, they don't have a football game.
Is Houston trolling us? Did they intentionally?
They're coming after us.
Did they make that happen?
They're trying to bury the Luka headline. Hopefully Luka will be outraged about it.
We got to talk Stars a little bit. They're going to host Winnipeg coming up at 7:30, and that's a big game for the Stars, and we'll talk a little bit more about that coming up later in the broadcast. We're going to go around the Eagles and talk about some of the big storylines there. Is Carson Wentz doing way too much? But then Brian Broaddus is going to join us as well. We'll talk sports with him on The Fan. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Let's go around the Eagles and the Patriots here. We'll get you caught up to speed on everything you need to know about their top rival and this week's opponent. Eagles getting set to take on the Seahawks. And you can imagine Philly is in a full-blown crisis. Do you have a major show announcement coming up here in about 7 or 8 minutes? Major station announcement, I believe. Segment's brought to you by BMW. And it's brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the office of Frankel & Frankel at 214-333-3333 or go online to frankelfirm.com. Principal office, Dallas, Texas. Yeah, we go to Philly. They are a team in more of a crisis than the Cowboys. Jeff McClain here, verified account. He's a writer for the Philly Inquirer. And his story today is the ghost of Nick Foles haunting Carson Wentz.
Oh, no.
And it's kind of a maybe a weird headline or a little bit of a reach, but the journalism inside is pretty dang interesting. And it's the whole sports psychology thing of, man, you know, you didn't win it, and then they picked you instead of him, and now the pressure's on. Are you possibly trying too hard? Earlier this week, head coach Doug Peterson suggested that for whatever reason, Wentz might be pressing a little bit and trying to do too much, reads the article. He doesn't have to feel like he has to make all the plays. Wentz pretty much agreed with that assessment on Wednesday. I need to try to not do too much. Just stay ahead of the chains, be efficient on first and second, and just trust the guys around me. I feel like I've done that well at times. Sometimes, though, you get greedy and try to make plays and force the ball. So, wow, as you know, this team has become wonky. Is it that? I mean, last year, what were they, 6-7? They were a game under 500. Foles comes back, leads them into the playoffs. They win a playoff game. And it was sort of, you know, reminiscent of how, you know, they kind of played better in their Super Bowl year once Foles was in as well. The crazy thing, though, is Carson Wentz was amazing. He was an MVP player in 2017. And since he's come back, he's not been that. Is it the injuries plus the pressure? I mean, that pressure can do weird things to you, can it? I could totally see that. I mean,
there has to be a little bit there that he wants to get back to where he was, live up to the expectations. He wasn't there for the playoff run, and then he's had injuries to his wide receivers that, you know, once he lost to Deshaun Jackson, it seemed to kind of take him down, Jeff. And then he has bad numbers when it comes to accuracy this year.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, he's always had, I don't know if I want to call it an issue, because a lot of quarterbacks don't have huge yards per attempt numbers and can still be good. But he's always been a kind of conservative quarterback that wants to throw to the tight ends and be kind of a check down guy. And
I remember him being so great on third down in 2017.
Yeah, and it was like third and longs, yeah, too. But, like, so there's been that, and then now it seems like when he was a rookie and in his second year, it seemed like all the stories about Carson Wentz were incredibly positive. Like, as a leader and the, aw shucks, let's go get him, guys. And now it seems like everything you read about him is more either comparing him to Nick Foles, or it just all has like a defensive feel to it. Like, no, chill out, it's okay. And it's like it feels like a panic mode, and it doesn't help that you're missing really important players.
Well, I think that defensiveness, panic, or insecurity, I think those could be potential words for describing what's going on with Carson Wentz. Everything was great. He was the man. He was ascending to greatness until he had to compare himself to Foles. And not to get too philosophical on you, but just look up the destructive and toxic potential of once you get into the comparative mind and thinking about where you're coming up short compared to others. You want to talk about being the worst version of yourself? Just start thinking about what you don't do well compared to your peers and focus on that stuff instead of the great things that you do. And boy, you know, your confidence, your ability to overcome is going down. Your defensiveness and insecurity is going way up. So, you know, typically when you're talking about professional athletes, it's guys with the kind of makeup that overcome and don't dabble in that stuff. And they have sort of the mind that is just, you know, predetermined for greatness because they don't focus on that kind of stuff. But you get plenty of great athletes that come through that have not hit that sports psychology place where they need to be to have it all in balance and take the ups and the downs in stride. And I do think it's possible that's where Wentz is. And those Eagles fans will drive you crazy, won't they?
Yeah, and it'd be great if that's who Wentz is, because Wentz is also locked in. Like, that's another thing when we were talking about this earlier, and I think it's a great point. Like, for now, there's zero doubt that Dak is the best quarterback of his draft class. A year ago, that wasn't true. 2 years ago, that wasn't true. His rookie year, it was true. And it's like, it's up and down, it's up and down. But what makes you feel good, or should make you feel really good as a Cowboy fan, is you'll never hear things like this about Dak. Like, well, how is he in terms of the leadership? Is there some sort of fracture there? What's psychology department like? Because what we do is we roll all of those different things, and then we just call it the it factor. And Dak, you'll have zero questions for the rest of his life about the it factor. And with the other guys, those pop up. Like, Dak had times where he had an 8-game stretch where he didn't play great, but you never questioned work ethic, leadership, how's his psychology, what do his teammates think about him. Like, those things will never pop up with your quarterback.
No, not at all. It's fantastic stuff. It's a big bonus. And the fact that all this is happening with Wentz and we're looking for a narrative to assign to it, it's amazing. Meanwhile, speaking of amazing, Nelson Aguilar's burner account discovered. A couple tweets of note that aren't going to help his situation with the fans of the locker room. This would be pretty dang awkward to practice after these came out. EFAM33 is the name of the Twitter account, and apparently that's familiar with his middle name, with Aguilar's middle name. And he tweets, maybe it's because Wentz doesn't throw a better ball than Foles, making it harder for us to catch.
Us. That's my favorite part, is us.
Yes, and then Philly fans are worst in the league, and they won't appreciate us until we're gone. So he did us, and he did we, if that really is Nelson Aguilar's burner account. Now, maybe someone's just doing a Twitter prank, like creating an obvious fake Nelson Aguilar account, or maybe that really is his burner. It happened to KD. It happened to Brian Colangelo. Why not Nelson Aguilar?
I want it to be his burner. And I lean towards it is his burner account, because every tweet from that account is nothing but pro Nelson Aguilar, defensive Nelson Aguilar, and talking about how Nick Foles is better.
Well, is there any way that he could prove his innocence in this? Because I think if his teammates are, asking and he's denying, it's like, well, is he denying it because he got caught? Or
you got to release him soon, too.
Yeah, he's that bad. Yeah,
I mean, and especially with this.
Yeah, yeah. If it's true.
Yeah,
I think you'd probably do your homework and hope that Aguilar could bounce back. But if it is true, then he's got to go for sure. Okay. What was it? It was earlier this week. It went out on Twitter that a great member of the DallasCowboys.com team was no longer there. He left. And almost immediately, our Twitter account started blowing up, and the email inbox of our program director, Gavin Spittle, started getting all like, you gotta figure out a way to bring Brian Broaddus into the fan family a little bit more. He joins us at 4:20 on Tuesdays, and we can now make what I do believe is a very significant station announcement. Brian Broaddus is going to be joining our Dallas Cowboys pre- and post-game coverage.
Yes.
And that will start this Sunday at noon with Ari Temkin as the Cowboys get set to visit the Patriots. And Brian Broaddus joining us now on 105.3 The Fan. Good evening, Brian, and thanks so much for coming aboard. You've been a blessing and a tremendous asset for our station for close to a decade now. And to take it a step further, we're incredibly excited about it.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate all the kind words, General. Yeah, you know, it's when I left the Cowboys, I was looking for some different challenges. And, you know, the medium of the radio is one of those things that have always interested me, you know, and I get to play Radio Man every once in a while on 105.3. And, you know, it was always something that I enjoyed. I enjoyed working with the various shows and stuff. And now to have the opportunity to be a part of the pre- and post-game show and on the station, and I'm really excited about that. You know, I've done pre and post on the TV side, but you know, the radio is a lot different. It's a lot more involved, and I'm just really, really excited that Gavin Spittle, Tim Collins, everybody, you know, has brought me on board to be a part of this, because it is a big thing for me. It's going to be a new challenge, and it's a challenge that I'm really, really excited about and looking forward to starting with a very, very important game here in Foxborough this weekend.
Now, I was scheduled to do the Bears game, and now I'm not because of you. So would you like to apologize?
No, I won't. I like talking football. I really do. But I like, you know, that's the great thing you get about radio and the jobs you guys have is that you get to talk about all sports. I think that's really, really a cool thing. But, yeah, no, I'm excited to get the opportunity to do all these games. I think that, you know, the fans, the Tolos, everybody out there, you know, the pregame, it kind of sets the table, you know, and I've done a lot of work on the New England Patriots. With Ari, I'm looking forward to it of, you know, kind of breaking this thing down. How do you go and win a place at a game at a place that not many people have ventured into and come out with a victory? So there are ways to do it. And then on the postgame show, you get to chop it all up, whether it works or it doesn't work. And, you know, that's always been really, really interesting to me to be able to have that opportunity to, as it's fresh in your mind, to be able to do that.
What are the ways for the Cowboys to do that? Here's the pre to the pregame here. When offensively the Patriots, that secondary is full of a whole bunch of good players, and they can they can cover you in different ways, and they're allowing, I believe, 140 or 150 passing yards per game, and Dak's throwing for 312 a game. What gives there?
Yeah, and you idiots won't let me run the ball. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay, all right. Hey, I support it this week if you can get you a good yards per carry.
I absolutely, you better block Danny Shelton if you want to run that football for sure. But, yeah, no, you know, this is where this is where you guys have been right. And to me, it's going to be about, can you manage the game from series to series? And you're going to get different looks. And I'm talking about the Cowboys offensively are going to get different looks from Belichick. He is not going to show you his best stuff. He is going to save stuff. And you've got to save stuff too. You've got to be ready to adjust along with him, you know. And if you get in this rut where you become very predictable, he will murder you. This defense is good enough to do it. They, you know, the pass rush is, you know, a couple of guys. Van Noy is a really good player for them. But, you know, the strength of the Cowboys, well, what we've seen is their ability to protect the passer, giving up only 12 sacks so far this season, which last year was just at this time was just awful with the number of sacks. But, yeah, they seem to have found a way. Dak has done a nice job when they've had some leakage. He's been able to make some throws. They've got the receivers. So, yeah, the challenge will be if you can protect. Again, you got to be ready to zig when they zag and vice versa, because this is going to be one of those games that's going to be played on the fly. It's going to be a lot of adjustments for both teams. And like I talked to some guys this morning about the guys this morning at 8:40, Kellen Moore has to keep something in reserve for that final, for that fourth quarter, for that final push. He has to have something, whether that's getting Blake Jarwin involved, whether it's getting Tony Pollard involved. He's going to have a wrinkle or two when this thing is tight and tough that could maybe put this thing over the top. So fascinating game this weekend with a team that doesn't give up big plays on defense and a team that creates a lot of big plays on offense.
Brian, last thing here. I heard you this morning and love listening to you. Can't wait to listen to you all the time on Sunday and Cowboys games.
Thank you.
What about the Cowboys defense? You talk about how Bill Belichick and company can use maybe one of their strengths against them, and you talked about the Green Bay Packers this morning. Talk about how the Patriots could maybe use the screen game and use the Cowboys' speed on defense as a weakness instead of a strength.
Yeah, try to do that. It's a great question, Mike, because you're going to get the screen game a lot. You're going to get it to the running backs. You're going to get it to Julian Edelman on the outside, even down in the red zone, inside the five-yard line. If Brady sees you playing off, boom, ball's going out quick. You know, Philadelphia did a really good job. I thought that the Baltimore Ravens, the Cleveland Browns, they did a great job of getting after Tom Brady to the point where Brady wasn't accurate enough on some of the screens that he was able to try and throw. So, yeah, can you get pressure? Can you get up the field? You've got to tackle. Again, it's a broken record we talk about every week, is can these Cowboys linebackers, they've tackled well in games like in New Orleans, they tackled well in the Giants games against quality backs, can they tackle well enough in this game? You know, again, the Patriots, the running game, everybody's like, well, they don't run the ball. It's been non-existent. Well, we thought the same thing about the Packers, and look what they were able to do. Yeah, this game is going to come down to, Can you handle those times when the ball, and generally when the Patriots throw a screen, they're going to their left for some reason, and they got Isaiah Wynn over there this week. So, you know, keep an eye on where that ball is going and how they set up those screens, but they do it a lot of different ways, and it's just a matter if you can get to Brady. These defenses that he's played the last few weeks have done a good job affecting him and then affecting the pass.
Great stuff. Once again, Brian, thank you for joining the team in an expanded capacity, and we look forward to hearing you.
Look forward to it, guys. Thank you so much for having me on, and it should be a lot of fun, and we'll see what if we can sprint this thing to the end and see if we can get this thing in the playoffs. But I appreciate everybody there at the station having the faith that I can do this job. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it. He's at Brian Brought Us on Twitter.
I think he might be capable of doing this job.
It's possible. I heard it. We had him on a 2-week probationary period.
just to make
sure he's qualified.
Gavin, what was the best Cowboy season in the last, 10 years record-wise?
2016, 13-3?
Yeah. Who was doing the post-game show then?
Me and you?
Yeah.
They need to bring us back?
No, actually, they don't.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys, is there a chance you'll do that?
No. It was fun.
Just to, you know.
It is fun, but as good of a job as we did, Mike, and we knocked it out of the park. I think we led them to
tons of victories. We'll see if, Broadus can lead them to a stretch that we had.
Okay.
What do you want to talk about, Jeff?
College football corner and dream job for potheads is next.
A new Mirage 411.9, only at Mesquite Mitsubishi, online at mymitsu.com.
Well, thank you, Lucius. It's time for Jeff to entertain us. Go, Jeff, go.
I'm here.
Up, man.
I had a lot going on. I'm here. Got a quick college football corner for you before we get to the dream job for potheads that's available. So if you're a big time toker out there, make sure you keep it locked.
Wouldn't it be like smoking or eating the drug?
What?
Would that be the dream job?
Yeah, I think so.
You'd get paid.
Why don't you just stay tuned, Mike. Right. I know you don't always do that in this segment, but go ahead and give it a try.
I'm out.
In the college football corner, let's talk about ESPN's Todd McShay. 2 days ago on a podcast, was talking about the quarterbacks in college football this year that NFL teams like the most and who is likely to be picked where in the NFL draft. His top tier includes Tua Tagovailoa, Joe Burrow from LSU, and Oregon's Justin Herbert. Tier two is Washington's Jacob Eason, Georgia's Jake Fromm, and Utah State's Jordan Love. So,
J-Lo, I call him.
Yeah, is that what you've been calling him for a long time? Mm-hmm. So, SI talked to some scouting directors that agreed with this assessment, and they said, presuming that Tua is able to make a full recovery over time, he remains in tier one. So that'll be good news for Tua if this turns out to be accurate, because it sounds like between Todd McShay and some scouting directors that they're still going to consider Tua to be one of the top three quarterbacks, which means that we're going to hear Tua's name called on draft day, even if he's not going to be able to play his rookie year, probably in the top 15 to 20.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to pass along the good news about Tua to the world.
That makes sense. If you can get me a clean bill of health on the hip and he's not looking at a Bo Jackson. Now you're just talking about a college quarterback with, top three draft status, but he's injury prone. So you dock him a little bit, right? Because this isn't the first time he's been hurt.
That part I get. The part that I guess is a little bit confusing to me is they're talking about if he has a clean bill of health that he'll be instead of number one, because the people they're talking to are saying, well, he was our number one guy, the safest quarterback, the best quarterback, better than Burrow. Tua was the guy. If he gets a clean bill of health, we'll put him third behind Burrow and Herbert. And I'm going to, if he gets a clean bill of health, he's going to be the guy that you just said was first.
Okay, so is he going to miss any time?
Well, yeah, but even if he were going to miss...
I think he'll miss all of next year.
What I'm going to say is, even if he were going to miss a year, if we magically get to run an NFL team now and you said, hey, there's a quarterback that if he gets a clean bill of health, he is the best.
Yeah.
But he got hurt, and if we get back a clean bill of health, we're going to put him as the third. But doesn't a clean bill of health mean he's the same guy?
Well, for me. I don't know how many teams would look at it, but you get a catastrophic injury plus a handful of other small nagging injuries in college, that's a hit. And then I'm going to lose 20 to 25% of your rookie contract value.
Yeah.
That's a hit as well. And I don't know. Those people must have Burrow and Herbert really, really close, and Atua was ahead. But you take that stuff away and add a catastrophic injury, and maybe that's, you know, that's enough if you're, what do you call it, tags are touching?
Yeah, tags are touching. So we'll see what he does. Obviously, he has more than two options, as they note in the SI article. Tua could stay in school and see if he can be healthy enough to go play. But even if he does that, you could get hurt again. You've already had a hip surgery and two ankle surgeries.
Two ankles? Wow.
You would then be going into a draft with Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields.
Are the ankles on the same side as the hip?
That's a great question.
Once you operate on the foot and ankle, man, it ain't getting back to the same.
That was part of it before he got really hurt, that I just thought that when they started evaluating and looking at his body, they're going to go, man, this guy is not a very durable guy.
Is his last name maybe Odin?
It's not. It's not Odin.
Tua Odin?
Nope, it's absolutely not Odin. And the second note is about Jalen Hurts, Oklahoma's quarterback, Albert Breer, writing about this. He was asking around for people like, hey, what are you hearing about Jalen Hurts? Because Mike's got him going first overall. He has for six months.
He's moving up.
So he says he doesn't think Jalen Hurts is a first-round pick, which would obviously...
We've heard that around this time from Oklahoma quarterback.
Give this 6 weeks.
That said, it sounds like the QB may have played himself into consideration to be a day two pick. He said one veteran evaluator said that Dak-ish range sounds right at this point, which would be, and now I can't read Albert Breer anymore because he said Dak was an early fourth rounder. No, he was a comp pick at the end of the fourth. And so that is the reported, anyway, status of a couple of quarterbacks for the NFL draft. On to what you're here for, the dream job for potheads. Mike, what'd you say the dream job for a pothead would be?
Would be to do the drug. You get paid to do the drug.
Yeah, there's an online magazine called American Marijuana, and they're based out of New York. They're looking for candidates to review and test out an array of marijuana-related products. And they're paying not top dollar. So they're saying that you deadbeats don't have anything better to do because it's about $36,000 a year for the right employee.
That's good money if you don't have to do anything and you get free weed.
I guess if weed makes up a big part of the budget.
You got to file a report.
So, they've listed some interesting information on their website about the job. The employee will have to live in a state where medical marijuana is legal. They're also looking for way more than just a functional pothead. They need a massive stoner because you got to have a vast knowledge of the marijuana industry as it currently stands so you can write competently about the products. You got to have comps ready. You got to be like, listen, man, I've been smoking.
I do know of a guy.
You know of a guy who can handle all this?
Yes.
Who is it?
You forgot?
No. Yeah.
How fitting. No.
I don't know. I can't say on the
Miguel
air.
Miguel Lassick?
Miguel Lassick's a big-time pot guy? Your neighbor? Whatever happened to his fire stick?
I do not know about the marijuana. He stopped fire breaking it or whatever it's called.
Why? Did it not work well?
Yeah. It's kind of like obviously the industry caught up to all the stuff you were getting.
All the jailbreaking of those fire sticks? Yeah.
Well, if you're willing to get high every day and get paid doing it, you might be the guy to do it.
I do know a guy, though. His name sounds like Troy, and his last name sounds like a color.
Oh, Troy Bright.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I believe he would be great at this job.
Okay. So now as for the day-to-day duties, it appears that every month the applicant will be shipped a box containing different brands and varieties of cannabis products every month. Now you're not just going to have to smoke weed. You'll have your weed strains, your vapes, your edibles, your CBD oils. The applicant then tests the products in person, writes about their experience with the product from unboxing to everything they'll be doing with the product. Also needs to be noted, the applicant will be required to record their experience in film.
Oh, so when the cannabis psychosis takes over?
Mm-hmm. So you can look back and be like, holy hell, is that what I did?
So embarrassed.
This includes an in-depth explanation of their experience with the product during and after their use to educate readers and viewers on the effectiveness of the product. So $36,000 a month to just get super high all the time. 877-881-1053 is the Autoflex Leasing fan text. If you think this is the job for you, tell us why you're qualified.
Is there just one job? This isn't a thing where they're looking for multiple people?
No, I think there's a bunch. Yeah, okay. Well, you get $36,000 a year in salary, and you get free cannabis products monthly, all the time.
So is it legal in Texas?
Yeah. Is it medically legal? Yeah, I think it is.
Are Texans eligible for this bad boy?
No one knows the answer to that question. Hey, Lucius, is this a medical state yet? No.
No, it's not.
Sorry, guys. I've been telling you all about a job you can't
My guy
have.
I know is out then.
Move out of state and give it a shot. But you can go over to the American Marijuana Dream Job landing page and upload a resume.
Marijuana Dream Job?
Along with a headshot or preferably link to a 60-second intro video where you discuss your passion for testing cannabis-related products. You also have to link to your social media account. So if you've been up to no good, clean that up, all right?
And you got to tell them, I'm not a cop, dude. I'm cool.
Yeah, I'm not a cop. I'm ready for all the weed.
I'm not a cop. I'm cool.
Oh, this guy says he's Troy, you know, that guy. He says, I'm his hookup. I bet I'm qualified.
Okay, we'll move on to what is on 1053thefan.com and the biggest amazing sports thing on TV tonight that you got to hear more about.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.